Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. Point of View with Phimelo Mudine on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
It's 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. Wow, 8 minutes after 8 o'clock. Thanks to Gugu and thank you so much to the Minister of Electricity. Thank you for joining us as well. 086-000-959. We like you when you also interact with us as we have these big guests in studio with us. Today we have none other than a very regular guest on our show, Herman Mashaba, who is the leader of Action SA. And he said to me, but we spoke not so long ago. There's so much to talk about.
I thought we had exhausted everything.
Well, we want to focus a little bit on the province.
Okay.
And this time around, because we had quite a broad conversation with you about your manifesto, national manifesto, what you want to offer the country at a national level. And so we thought it's important. We were meant to speak to Fonzi, mm-hmm. but we all know the circumstances. Mm-hmm. So we thought we'll bring you in. How is he, by the way?
Well, I was just with him 5 minutes ago. We had a public meeting here for 5 minutes away at Parkhurst Primary School.
He was there?
Yes, he was there. And this morning I was with him this afternoon at 1. We were together in Ivory Park where we were launching our Action SA poster. So I spent a bit of time with him and got him and our lady Tlhupi, where we wanted them to really take the country into confidence. Mm. What trauma happened? They went through last night. I mean, last night this time, I mean, we were in a spin. I mean, it's just really one of the most scariest part of my life. But, you know, one had the comfort of really getting the support from as far as the minister, the National Commissioner of Police, and the General Lafani.
Masemola,
you know, and really put every resource, and we prayed, you know, and luckily, obviously, his car is gone, but the car can really be replaced. His ID, so he needs to go and to Home Affairs as a matter of urgency because in 20 days' time, he's going to go and vote.
Are you at liberty to tell us what happened?
Yes, what happened is Fonzi says he worked yesterday in Region G, mm-hmm. and part of his campaign, he's got one of our colleagues, Ronin, who's always pulling a trailer and he's got a music system with a amplifiers and the generator.
Yes.
And unfortunately, Ronin's generator picked up.
Okay.
And quite late in the afternoon. And we had this function today in Ivory Park to launch the poster. So obviously, that time of the day, and while having discussion with Ronin, he thought of Tlhupi, because Tlhupi, says a few months ago, actually offered Fonzi and Ronin
the generator
if they needed one, since he's got a brand new generator. So Fonzi then phoned at about 5 or so from the Orange Farm, phoned Tlhupi to see if the generator is still available and so forth. And Tlhupi says, no, absolutely, could come to my house, gave Fonzi the address. Fonzi went over. And he says as he drove into Tlhupi's street, he realized, but he had some suspicion there's a car following him, and decided, as someone vigilant, went past to see if this car will follow him. Mm. And this car just disappeared and then came back and went into the house with Tlhupi's family. And obviously, at that time, they prepared this generator. Mm. Tlubi assisted him to load it, and Tlubi was actually not wearing any shoes. It was at home. The mother was there. So as they were busy loading, that's when these guys came, three guys with guns, and put both of them at the boot, at the back of Funzi's van, and drove with them for about an hour. This is, they ended up somewhere in the bush. And after many hours of terrorizing them, but not in a violent kind of fashion, took his, obviously, his bank details and went to draw money to obviously request that, him to give the pin. And yeah, past 11, that's when they dropped them somewhere in the middle of nowhere. They had no clue where they were. They just obviously walked. It says they walked for about a kilometer or two and eventually came across some estate, and with the knocking, the security guy opened for them without knowing who they were. And past 11, that's when I got a call from the police and put me in touch with Funzi that he's safe and...
Does so he you say, can imagine. Was there engagement with these? Of course, they wanted bank details, but he doesn't suspect anything else but just a hijacking. They wanted the vehicle and the contents.
In fact, that what gives us a little bit of comfort in the sense that we don't really believe this was a politically motivated incident. It was a pure criminal activity. In fact, he says this guy's kept on asking them, "What do you guys do?" And this is no, we work for Action SA. And
it's not funny. I just think it's when they say, "What do you do for a living?"
Thing, yeah.
So they obviously didn't know.
Yeah,
who
they
he
didn't
was.
Know.
Yes.
And in fact, it says one of those guys asked him, says, "What is Action SA?" And he says, "You know, Herman Mashaba." Oh. He says, "That's only." So it looks like my name is more popular than the party.
Yes.
So this guy, that's when he remembered. He says, "Oh my goodness, that man is tough with criminals." You know, I'm going to tell him what we did to you. You know, for some reason, you know, drop them off somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and he says this guy actually apologized to them, engaged them after learning about Action SA and Herman Mashaba, and then started engaging them about why they're doing what they're doing. He says, you know, politics in this country have robbed us of our future. What else can we do? He says, we hope that you guys, as Action SA, can help us because we hate what we're doing. Unfortunately, the circumstances in the country are forcing to do this terrible job.
And in a way, isn't that exactly the point of why you guys do what you do? Because here, I don't know if they were young, but here are people
I didn't ask him the age.
These are people who are saying, well, we have no choice. We are doing this because, well, we have no choice. So insightful what is actually going on the ground and the head of criminals and what gets people to end up doing the things that they're doing.
Yeah, no, that's it's actually quite scary. And that's what actually Funzi said to the media today, that, you know, he's so grateful that obviously their lives were spared,
yeah.
But it's not really something that anyone can celebrate, because
yes.
It can happen to anyone in this country, you know. Yes, it happened to us, and we're obviously grateful to South Africans for the prayers and the support, but it should not just happen to him because it's a high profile individual. Yeah, this is a real lived reality of millions of our people in this country. As we discussed last time, we're the murder capital of the world. We're the rape capital of the world. We've got the highest sustainable unemployment rate. You know, you can go on and on. And,
I wonder, Mr. Mashaba, if one of the things that comes out of this, you say the police were hands-on, everybody was great, is... of course, an example of what happens when there is collaboration.
Mm.
What happens when there is action on the ground? Crime can be dealt with.
Oh, no. There's absolutely no doubt whatsoever, Pamela, that I strongly believe that our police can work again. But then, unfortunately, police cannot work when they don't have... there is no political will. So, our law enforcement agencies or our criminal justice system can only work when you have the political will to really guide them. Unfortunately, at the moment, if you look at what's happening in our criminal justice system, it really leaves a lot to be desired from a political will perspective.
do you think he got help because he's Funzi? He's you know what I mean? Did you feel that the police acted because they knew this is a high profile individual?
Well, I think so, because obviously I made, as soon as I got to, I learned about this, I had a public meeting in Randburg Ridge.
Yes.
And I had my phone with me on silence, and we were live streaming. So, and I could feel this vibration is not stopping, but there was nothing I could do. We were live streaming. And as soon as I left just after 7, and one of my team members comes to me, says, James, says, hey, they said, we've got a crisis. Funzi has been hijacked or kidnapped. And we're not sure whether it's kidnapped or hijacked. Oh, my goodness, what do I do? Then, luckily, in the process, within 10 minutes, I managed to get the telephone number of the National Commissioner. Because I decided, let me take it to the to the high office. Because in the event something happens to Funzi, it'll be the country that pays the price.
Mm.
Because of his profile. And, mm-hmm. and I think for the sake of my country, I said, let me take it to the highest office. And fortunate enough, acted on this with immediate effect. And the minister actually himself, Minister Bekitele, also actually an hour later phoned to my national chairperson, Michael, because Michael, I was working with Michael to find this. And he says, so the minister phoned him several times until obviously this matter was resolved, you know. But they were not obviously helped because the police intervened directly. These guys, for some reason, they got what wanted from them, and obviously realizing that this is action SA people, and knowing Mashaba's determination to deal decisively with criminals, probably they must have realized if they don't release these people, they will know Mashaba will never really sleep.
Have they caught them?
Not as yet, but we've got some very, very positive leads, and we've provided this to the police and hope that they can make a breakthrough.
Okay. Mr. Mashaba, as I said, the last time we spoke, we were speaking about national matters and what your party is hoping to do for this country should it get the mandate and other, perhaps even if you go into a coalition with others. But we want to focus a little bit on the province, and you, one of those people who understands how a local government works. And from your experience. And so when we speak of something like crime, for instance, when you rely so heavily on SAPS at a national level, you know, this is, as you said, this is the province where we all know somebody knows somebody. We all know and feel crime, I suppose, on a daily basis. Your solutions to what has to happen to immediately try and reduce the crime problem, which affects so many things in our lives.
You know, Pamela, you know, with the privilege South Africa gave me to be the mayor of the city of Johannesburg, and I think people, every time I tell them this, when I accepted to be the mayoral candidate in 2016, I had no clue whatsoever what the mayor does. But I said, if this clowns can do it, I'm sure I can do it 10 times better. And I don't know if you remember, Pamela, when I took over in August of 2016, and there was nothing I could do with the budget.
Yes.
The only time I can have an adjustment budget was in 2016. An adjustment budget, you're not allowed to buy all the regulations regarding the municipalities. But what I did, because I realized, you know, I'm a person who believes in the rule of law.
Mm.
The biggest, first investment I made was on policing. Remember, I doubled the size, brought in 50% recruitment of JMPD officers. Because I realized if I don't really have the police behind me, as much as they've got limited powers, but at least they can do something. They have the legal authority to deal with petty crimes and so forth. As much as I did not really have the competency as far as prisons are concerned, as far as prosecuting is concerned, I said I'll put pressure. Mm. And I did put pressure on national government. There was a lot of resistance, including actually the premier at the time, Makurat, and his MEC of police. They did everything possible to sabotage and refuse subs from actually accompanying us on some of the raids. Remember, I inherited the city with hijacked buildings. Everyone had given up. JMPD subs. So it was a free-for-all in the city of Johannesburg. And I said to you, the residents of Johannesburg, I said, it's not going to happen under my watch for anyone to tell me that there's no go area in the city of Johannesburg. As a mayor, as a first resident elected by the people, and I've really put a lot of pressure on. And actually, because of my marketing experience, I'm a trader by nature, you know, and I knew I had to put pressure on subs and everyone to support me by making sure that every time we go and do this raids, I'm there myself, and I invite the media so that you as the media can really expose what was happening. That remember that time I was being called names and insulted. Yeah. But one thing for sure is that I was not really prepared to sit and watch this evil happening and say, I don't have the powers. I had the powers and I used those powers to ensure that we expose the rot in our country. Yeah. So now you can imagine if we put Funzi as the at a provincial level. I can assure residents of Gauteng that we'll turn this province quicker than I would at a local government level. Because then all the 9 municipalities under Gauteng will fall under Action SA. And one of our strong feature of our party, In fact, as I indicated to you, even the criminal underworld is aware of my no-nonsense approach to crime. And now, the subs, as much as, yes, we still have to rely on national government, but we'll have subs under us. We'll have MEC of subs under us. We will have all the 9 municipalities working with us to ensure that we protect our residents. Mm. And put pressure in the event the national government is still run by someone else.
Exactly.
Well, we'll put pressure on them to ensure that they support us. Because if they don't support us, so civil society will see.
Because that's, I suppose, would be the art, right? You've seen it in local government. You've had to manage that as a high level body. What's happening in Johannesburg? What's happening in Ekurhuleni? As the municipalities have to work with one another, these political parties with different agendas, it is going to probably be a coalition. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to work with people who do not have the same vision as yourself. What does it take to get everybody to rally behind one vision?
Well, it's, you know, Pamela, it's not an easy exercise, but possible. Yeah, you remember when I was the mayor for the 3 years, I ran one of the most stable coalition arrangement with the EFF voting with us on an issue by issue.
They were voting with
us on an issue by issue basis. And you remember before even accepting me, the EFF were not prepared to work with the capitalists.
That's part of the problem, right?
Yeah, no.
Because you were working with the EFF.
Yeah, no. I remember when this matter came to my attention and the DA failed to let me know.
Because you were working with the EFF.
I knew through the media, through Chidi Madia and Stephen Crotus phoning me, you know, when EFF had that press conference in Alexander, you know. And I felt, my goodness, this is going to be a difficult environment to control. And I said to Tidi Madia and Stephen Crotus, I said, please tell the DA if I'm a problem, let them bring the papers for me to sign right now. They must not reject this offer from the EFF because we've got to remove the ANC from government.
Let me ask you exactly on that point, right? At the time, you were a representative of the DA.
Yeah.
The DA that did not understand why you would be speaking to the EFF. You felt the need to collaborate with the EFF. Explain to me why that was so important, to put aside your own policy differences and work with the likes of the EFF.
In fact, you know, Pamelo, if you look at the day I was elected as the mayor, I think it was on the 22nd of August 2016 at City Hall, I could not really deliver my acceptance, full acceptance speech. I just have to really give off the cuff speech because remember one of the ANC councillors died of a heart attack, and we decided let's really give respect to this and requested South African people of Johannesburg that we respect this, and I'll deliver my speech later. But I said, one thing I want to assure residents of the city of Johannesburg, it's on record, that the success of this government is going to depend exclusively on ensuring that you bring everyone on board. And I said, because we know very well that the ANC would do anything possible to disrupt this government. But fortunate enough, I've got the numbers, including the EFF, if I show respect. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, DA did not really agree with us. They thought, they felt I should disrespect the EFF. And I said, it's not going to happen. I don't run a DA government. I run a multi-party government. I'm going to consult with all the parties. I'm not going to take any report to council or show disrespect to parties that wants to work with me. And that unfortunately created a problem with the DA. They ended up calling me an EFF mayor.
Yes,
you know, including actually, remember during the 2021 local government election, they spent a fortune saying to residents of Johannesburg, don't vote for this man, because if you vote for Mashaba, you vote for the EFF. It was such a abnormality that I thought to myself, my goodness, Herman Mashaba and EFF mayor, you know.
I'm going to open the lines if you don't mind, Mashaba, so that we can unpack more of what we would like to see in the province. 086-000-00959. He's standing in for Funzi, as we all know. We've just heard about his ordeal, unfortunately. So, you know, we will want to continue looking at what the Action SA has to offer the province. Mr. Mashaba is with us. He's the leader of Action SA, Herman Mashaba, that is. And he's going to be with us really trying to unpack some of your needs, your comments, your contributions to how Action SA plans to revamp the city. Mr. Mashaba, you know, we've spoken about this before, but the one of the biggest concerns in Gauteng is the burden of the healthcare system, the burden it faces, because people come from other provinces. Reliance is here in Gauteng, mainly Johannesburg, and it's not coping. The system is not coping. Your plans for the province as Action SA?
Actually, if you don't mind, if I can indulge you on this particular matter, I've just come from a community meeting down the street from here, and Dr. Khosi Letlape, basically team member on health. Please, one of the days he'd invite him, and he gave such a profound even address this evening around how to fix this broken healthcare system in this country. He says, why I've taken this decision to be part of what Herman is doing. I know him obviously for many years, but and for me as a resident of the city of Johannesburg, I saw how he ran the city looking for meritocracy in human beings. He was not really looking at anything than people who can deliver, and that's why I accepted this responsibility. So one thing is, we've given him the mandate. We've taken a position as Action SA. You can look at it in our approved policies. The only way we're going to fix our healthcare system, that means every politician in this country, from the president up to the cleaner, must go to public healthcare system.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm sick, my family must take me to Barra if I'm a politician. Mm-hmm. So those who can afford to go to private hospitals, we're not against this. But we need focus on our primary healthcare, public healthcare in this country. And we believe very strongly that for Action SA government, if you South Africans give us the mandate to be the government, we will with immediate effect stop subsidy on private healthcare. If you work for government, from the president up to you,
medical aid.
If you want medical aid, you can pay for it yourself. But what we are saying, you've got to fix the system, because the president.
So what would you do with the GEMS, for instance?
What do you mean?
GEMS is the state medical aid.
Yeah, no, we'll scrap it. Why must we, if we are government that is supposed to be providing healthcare to everyone, must we still expect us to go to private healthcare? And then in the meantime, there's the Mrs. Dlamini who cannot afford. We must set an example as politicians. That's why we will ensure that there's no public health, no private health care subsidized by our government.
As a state worker.
As a state.
Civil servant.
We believe, and I think Khosi Letlapa is heading that project. Yes. And I think he's obviously as a medical person and someone with running in this and working in this thing for over 40 years. Yeah. One of these days, please feel free to get him to unpack this properly. I wouldn't do justice because I'm not a medical person.
But in general terms, when you engage with civil society, when you engage with the unions, how do they feel about this?
Because we don't care about unions. The unions have destroyed this country. That is why we are unapologetic to say no union will not have a veto right. We will engage them. Look, please, I don't want people to misconstrue what I'm saying. Unions have got a right to be here, but they will never have a veto right on our policies. We will engage them like we'll engage. Because as government, people must understand, government does not represent particular interest. Government must represent everyone, employed, unemployed, Sikh, not Sikh, and so forth. It is for that reason we will not allow the unions to dictate to us. We will engage them with respect, and they've got to respect us, and I have a full understanding that our responsibility and the mandate is to represent all. So unions, I tell you, if I look at the damage they've caused to my country, this country of ours, from schooling, I mean, what they've done to our schools, what they've done to the public service, what they've done to everything that have touched. I look at the 44% unemployment rate in this country. It's a man-made. Unions have been, they've got to take, honestly, for me, 80% of the responsibility of non-performance of our economy is because of the union. So I think me and the unions, I'm happy to really have one-on-one discussions with them, because I think we need to rebuild this country. To fix it, we will need everyone to come on board and understand that no one has got a veto right, or no one has got more rights than the next person.
You see what's happening in Johannesburg. We've been watching illegal mining literally rip this at the underbelly of the city into pieces. Your solutions for that?
Well, Pamela, I don't know if you remember when I was the mayor, I think back in 2018, I think somewhere there, I actually had a tour. I brought in the media, and civil society complained to me about this illegal mining happening in the city of Johannesburg and the dangers they pose. Mm. One thing, honestly, the city of Johannesburg, we're sitting on a ton bomb. Mm. That FNB stadium, experts took us there, where there's miners using explosives next to gas pipelines, petrol pipelines, and actually demonstrated to us that in the event, for some reason, something happens, right now, you'll have 80,000 people in that stadium. And if accident happened, that stadium, we won't actually recognize that it was ever there because of the gas pipes and petrol pipes that are running below those communities. Those poor communities next to the stadium. Right now, I'm afraid we leave South Africa in the city of Johannesburg. We survive on the way, honestly, the God is still protecting us. But with the day when it's going to happen, something is going to happen. I'm just warning South Africans, we mustn't say it was an accident. Because we are failing to proactively deal with the risks that we are facing.
Yeah. And what would we have to do? For instance, you've just spoken about the stadium. But of course, you've seen what happened, the fire and, in Johannesburg a couple of days ago because of cable theft. But there is an entire tunnel, a network underneath the city of Johannesburg that is now occupied by people who are doing all sorts of illegal activities.
And undocumented illegal foreign nationals to a large extent involved. And when I raise this, and then they want to label me as xenophobic, it is a fact. The majority of the people, not all, but majority of the people are involved in this criminality are foreign illegal to people who are not supposed to be in this country, stripping our infrastructure. The processing this material, sending it out of the country. I mean, and we are expected to just keep quiet and say no. We must respect humanity. What humanity? How can you talk about humanity when people put our lives at such a serious risk? And unfortunately, I don't know why this government.
So immediately, what would have to happen in Johannesburg?
We need to have a special. Forces to deal with this matter with unlimited powers to deal with this, have special courts to make sure that obviously I think everyone must be, obviously go through the normal systems. But we need specialized units within SAPS to deal with these cases. And we must have 24-hour courts. We find you having been involved in the destruction of our infrastructure. Honestly, within 48 hours, you must appear before a court, and there are judges, the magistrate in this country, and prosecutors who are retired, who are prepared to come back into the system on a 24-hour basis to make sure that, obviously, I think when you are sentenced, you went through an open, transparent system. But unfortunately, you need the political will to be able to establish such structures.
Do you want to comment on the burning flag ad?
Yeah, well, I think it's very sad state of affairs. I mean, I think for the DA, as much as we can be angry with the ANC, but we must be angry with the ANC. It's not our flag, it's not our constitution that is destroying this country. Burn the ANC flag. You can burn it, and I'm sure we'll celebrate as South Africans. But you cannot interfere with non-ANC project. That flag does not belong to the ANC. That flag belongs to all of us as a nation and South Africans. So I think it's a really very unfortunate situation. And I listened to Helen Zille this morning on one of the platforms, and completely determined to defend this. But you know what? Sometimes some people, when they're in the hole, they dig themselves deeper. But I can only tell you, for me, go and burn the ANC flag, because the ANC flag represents ANC people. But don't interfere with national symbols.
Before I let you go, you touched a little bit on education. Gauteng education, would you alter anything?
Without any doubt. Look, as Action SA, we committing at the national level. Let's start quickly. We need one Department of Education. We need one Department of Education.
You mean instead of basic? We don't need basic. Higher education.
No. We need Department of Education. We need to invest in ECD centers. Actually, the meeting yesterday I was addressing ECD practitioners nationwide. That's why we were live streaming to show commitment that if we're serious about the education of our kids, it's going to start at that level. Mm-hmm. So that by the time they go to formal school, they can read for meaning, even at that level. Mm-hmm. So we need to reintroduce. Firstly, I think what's important to understand. Mm. The influence of SATU in education must be removed completely. Principals of schools must be appointed by government. The only people who must be consulted, who's going to be the principal, is the community that principal is going to serve, not the unions. Mm-hmm. we must immediately bring back school inspectors. Let's bring back all these retired teachers. Asking South Africans, anyone under 75 years, please come and work. You can be a school principal, you can be a school inspector. But also, more importantly, we need to bring God back into our schools. I've been really consistent on this matter because I know and understand the role that God has played in our lives. When I started school long before you were born in 1966, so I'm not a young man, at Libelo Primary School in Haramuzi, you know. Every morning before we go to school, we go to assembly for 10 minutes or so. The principal, all the teachers, and all of us. By the time we go to school, we are out. Given that wisdom of actually believing and fearing something, not just fear. During our days, it was okapis. We had no guns in our communities. You don't have to really fear someone with AK-47. You can obviously fear the big act, you know, being out there. And that's something that for us as action, I can tell you, if we can do that in 20, 30 years' time, every street in Soweto, every street there in the village of Haramose, there'll be engineers coming out of those communities. There'll be accountants. There will be judges. We'll be having professional detectives and so forth, because it is possible. We'll have plumbers. We'll have electricians coming out of these communities. But as long as we've got this chaos that we've experienced over the last 30 years, This country will only go backwards.
Before I let you go, in a short while, I'm going to be paying tribute to Dr. Sam Zwanyane. So you would know him. You were a businessman. Well. This is a man who was revered, really, in the black community and in business. You want to pay tribute to him? Last few words?
Yes. I think, fortunate enough, I had the privilege of really being given the wisdom by the Motsonyanis, the Walter Dubis, the Chabalalas, the Maponyas, in the 80s. Under difficult circumstances, attend NAFCOF conferences, and you listen to this old guys, you know. And I think for me at the time, as an industrialist, by the time I reached 30, I had built my own factory, 6,000 state-of-the-art factory in Mabopane, with the help of Walter Dube. You know, some people don't know this. I started Black Lamy with a 30,000 rands loan from Walter Dube, someone who was well revered. Mm-hmm. So I think the Motsonyanis of this world, the men you see talking to you tonight, we were made by the wisdom of such individuals. And Trileri treated me as his own son. He treated me as a friend, as a family friend, and so forth. And when I visited him, was it about a year ago, he called me to his house. It was after the 2022, mm-hmm. after the local government elections. He asked me to come and have tea with him and his wife. And I really felt so blessed. I didn't realize that it would be the last time. But obviously, you could see age was not on his side. Yeah. And I've read his autobiography and how to encourage South Africans to really read about that beautiful life of that beautiful human being, because Dr. Motsonyane was a beautiful person.
I appreciate your time. Thank you. And thank you for that wonderful tribute. Thank you very much. Hemra Mashaba, Action SA leader, thank you so much for coming through.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.